Passage this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, whether it's paper copy, hard copy, electronic copy, turn your version of God's Word to John chapter 6. Food has been around since the beginning of time. God created, and He created plants that were for our eating. Food has become more than just eating anymore, though. It's become a staple of our society, and there are those who can take food and turn it into an art form, whether it's through taste or design, the way they make things. There are those that can just turn food into something more than just eating. You look at it, and you're not even sure you're supposed to eat it. I brought some food today. A couple of loaves of bread. I'm going to do something a little different today. This might be just a little different, but I want... Can't say it more different, more than... expound on it more than that. But I want to just give us an opportunity, because we're talking about the I am statements. We looked last week at Exodus and how God said that I am the I am. This week we're going to look at Jesus and His statement that I am the bread of life. And I thought maybe it would help us if we actually had physical bread. Now I'm going to leave them in the wrapper so you can kind of, here's the instructions. You can kind of pull it down and take a piece off. That way you don't feel like everybody's touching the bread before you get to it. All right, does that make sense? Feel free to pass it around, take a piece. Do you have me now? I feel like I'm actually on. You can choose to eat this or not eat this. Okay? So you don't have to if you don't want to. Some of you, I'm sure, are on a diet, and maybe your diet says you shouldn't eat bread. And so if that's the case, then don't feel like you have to eat the bread, but you can if you want. This is probably also going to be one of those sermons that's going to make you hungry. So maybe you need to take a bigger piece of bread if you haven't already gotten it, because I don't want you to be hungry through the whole time here. But think back with me about food at the beginning of time. God created food. He gave them food. But He said there's one food that you're not allowed to eat. There's a tree that you're not allowed to eat the fruit of. You need to abstain and not eat that. And Satan came along and he deceived Eve. And Eve in turn told Adam, and Adam ate, and they both ate. And God took them out of the garden. The Bible says that God kicked them out of the garden. And one of the parts of the curse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, it says that they no longer were going to, it's no longer going to be easy for them to get food. They were going to have to toil for their food. And it actually says there, they're going to have to toil to have bread. They're going to have to toil to eat. Now they're out of the garden. They realize the shape they're in. They're hungry. But there's no easy food. Now they have to work. Fast forward, we looked at the book of Exodus last week. And here are the Israelites. Moses has led them out of Egypt. And here they are, and all of a sudden they're starting to feel hungry. They say this to Moses. This comes from Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. They say, "You," pointing at Moses, "you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Moses, what are you doing? You brought us here to kill us? Give us some food. We're hungry. There's a new term that I've noticed in the last couple of years. It's called hangry. I don't know if you guys get hangry, But I get hangry sometimes. It's hunger and anger mixed together. You get angry because you're hungry. Well, there's reasoning behind that. We won't get into it this morning. But as your body begins to run out of fuel, you start to develop emotion of anger. And so Stacy sometimes is like, very nicely, you need to eat something. I think that's what's happening here to the Israelites. They needed to eat something. They were hungry and they were angry. They were hangry. Moses, you brought us out here to basically starve us to death? Come on. But God takes this to Moses and he says, God tells Moses, I'm going to provide for the people. I'm going to give them food. There's going to be doves in the nighttime, and I will provide a food in the morning as well. They wake up the next morning, and the Bible says there's this kind of crusty, dewish stuff on the ground all around. And they say, what is it? And that name sticks. The name manna literally means, what is it? And so they continue to call it, what is it? Because we don't know. But it's the food that God provided for them. God provided. Kind of reminds us before the fall where God provided food for the people, for Adam and Eve, without them having to work. God provides for the Israelites in that same manner. He says, I'm going to give you food. You're going to have to look to me to provide what you need on this journey. In the beginning of John chapter 6, the chapter we're going to look at this morning, Jesus finds himself facing a hungry crowd. There's people who have come and gathered to hear him teaching, and this is the Passover time, the Bible tells us, and the Passover meal includes bread and a lamb. But all of a sudden, there's 5,000 people there that need fed, and Jesus, in other passages, because it's covered in different Gospels as well, Jesus says, okay, why don't you go find some food for them? And the disciples say, do you know how much that would cost? That would be like a lifetime's worth of wages. We can't provide for 5,000 people to eat. That's too much. But Jesus already knew what was going to happen. The Bible tells us they find a young boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus thanks God for the food, and then he distributes it. Now, I'm not expecting to collect baskets of food this morning. Don't expect that this morning. But you probably still have that taste of bread in your mouth, don't you? Jesus gives these people a taste of what life was like when God provided for people without them having to do work. They just took some food and passed it on, and it says that they were all full. And then they gathered baskets of leftovers. Now back in Exodus, God didn't give them more than they needed. If there was more there, it says if they tried to keep it the next day, it started to rot and stank. That's actually in there. It started to rot and it stank. Because God said, don't take more than you need for your day. So they would just leave it and it would do what it did. And they would move on for the day. But God provided. And this time when Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't just provide. They all had their fill. It was like they went to the Jerusalem buffet. They got to have their bread and their fish, and it was all they needed to eat, probably plus a little bit. And then there was more. The Bible tells us that after this miracle, Jesus withdraws to a mountain, and the people want to take him to make him their king. The people want to lift Jesus up to become king, and Jesus gets out of there. He leaves, and he goes, and he spends quiet time Once it starts to get dark, the disciples decide they need to go back to their home base, which is Capernaum, which is across the sea. And so they get into boats, some of them being fishermen. They climb into these boats and they start their journey. The Bible tells us they get about halfway across the sea. The sea is about 8 miles across, so they get 3 to 4 miles across the sea, and all of a sudden this storm comes up. We know about the disciples and storms. It happens on the Sea of Galilee, and they can come up like that, and all of a sudden they're doing all they can to row. I would assume, since they didn't have a sail up, the wind's blowing against them. Otherwise, it would be easy, and they would just let the wind push them in. And so the wind must be blowing against them, and they're rowing as hard as they can. Row, row, row your boat gently. Wait, that's not gently. They're paddling as hard as they can to get across. And it says they get about halfway across, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water. In other passages, it says he was about to pass them by. Here's the disciples rowing as hard as they can, and here's Jesus just kind of out for a leisurely stroll. Hey, guys, how you doing? It says that he gets in the boat, and all of a sudden they're on the shore. That's what John tells us. So Jesus just had fed 5,000 people. Jesus just saves his disciples. And these 5,000 people wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden they're like, where did Jesus go? We saw the disciples get in the boat last night, but where did he go? And so there's more boats that have showed up on the shore, and so they hire these boats to take them then across to Capernaum, and they find Jesus. And that's where our text picks up this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. This is the scene. They have these boats come in, and they say, we want to go find Jesus. Jesus just did this miracle. They wanted to make him king, and so they go to the other side, to Capernaum. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what signs do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The people's minds were on food. They had been fed the night before, but the desires for food were not met. I don't know how many of you have ever eaten at a buffet and you eat more than you should, usually when you go to a buffet. And so they'd eaten this food, but the next day they're hungry again. I don't know if you've ever eaten, you go, oh man, I don't feel like I could ever eat again. Sometimes Thanksgiving's like that. When we celebrated Thanksgiving, we used to celebrate it on the same day with both families. So we'd go to my house, my parents' house, and we'd eat a big meal at my parents' house. Then we'd go to Stacy's parents' house and eat a big meal at her family's house. And by the end of the day, I was like, oh, I don't feel like I could eat anything. Then it comes to be about 8 o'clock at night. Or 9 o'clock at night. You go, I could eat something. Or the next day, you wake up and you're like, I'm hungry again. Hunger doesn't end. Which brings us to our first point. People are always hungry. People are always hungry. They'd received a free handout. They'd received free food. They didn't have to work for it. And maybe if they followed Jesus around, they would never have to work for their food again. They even brought up the manna that God had provided to the people of Israel. But the way they brought it up was more like this. Well, Moses gave us manna from heaven. You just multiplied some loaves here on earth. Moses gave us manna for 40 years. You just gave us some bread for a meal. What can you do that's greater than Moses? They were challenging Jesus. Basically, we're going to need more from you if we're going to believe in who you are. We're going to need more from you. We're still hungry. You gave us bread last night. We're hungry now, though. We're going to need more bread. They had a physical hunger to see more from Jesus, not just bread. They wanted more proof. They had just witnessed him providing for 5,000 people out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they wanted more. They didn't understand who Jesus was or what he had come to accomplish. A feast. Food is one of our basic needs. It's possible to go without food for up to 3 weeks. You can't go without water, though, but you can go without food. The Bible tells us that Jesus fasted for quite a long time. But much longer, and the energy needed to power your brain will actually not be there. Your body feeds off of the food that you eat. If you stop eating food, it'll start feeding on your fat, which is great. But then, when it doesn't feed on your fat anymore, it starts feeding on your muscles. And you start to just wither away. That's why when you see people who are starving, their arms might be this big around. Because they have no food. Food is essential to keep us alive. But Jesus in this text tells us about a different type of food. We'll talk more about this, but he tells us more about a spiritual food that we can get. So how essential is spiritual feeding for you? Do you have a regular diet of being fed by God's word in your life? Where you take God's word and you read it. Whether you listen to it on an audio tape or online or read it in your Bible, do you spend time getting fed by God's word? We saw that people are always hungry for more. What are they trying to put in their bodies, though? These people that were trying to follow Jesus, they were more concerned with the hunger that they faced, the physical hunger. And so Jesus says there are two different types of food. He says there are two types of food. The first type of food is a food that perishes. There's lots of ways we try to preserve food. We pretty much all probably have refrigerators in our house. We use that to preserve food. Freezer, we use that to preserve food. or we just put it outside on days like this. Salt, they used to use salt to preserve food. Drying food out preserves it, but no matter what you use to preserve the food, it's going to spoil eventually. It's going to go bad eventually. Food perishes. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. The stuff that perishes. Don't lay that up for yourselves, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, what your goal is, what you're trying to attain, if it's just on the stuff that perishes, it's going to perish with you. So don't just lay up for yourselves treasures on earth that just perish, but lay up treasures that are going to last you eternally. That's the second one. The second type of food is eternal food. They say, well, how do we get this kind of food? And Jesus says, this is how you do it. Verse 29, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What is the work of God? The work of God is belief in Jesus. That's what he says. That is the eternal food. How do we receive the food, the eternal food? By believing in Jesus Christ, whom God sent. Believing in God's Son who came and demonstrated what a life, what a relationship with God can be. Who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and who rose again 3 days later. If we're given the option of two different types of food, hopefully all your breads are gone now. Which would you choose? The one on the left or the one on the right? It's a pretty easy decision, isn't it? Jesus says, don't work for the food that's perishing. Work for eternal food. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't saying, don't ever eat food again. Jesus isn't saying that because we need food to live. And he provided for the physical needs of the people. They were hungry and he gave them physical food. He's not saying don't eat food. He's saying strive for more than just something that perishes. Make your life more than about just getting food for the next day. Jesus says that he would fill a much greater need in their lives, that he would supply the spiritual food which would give them a more abundant life. Finally, Jesus offers eternal spiritual nourishment. Jesus offers eternal spiritual nourishment. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to offer life that wasn't just a life of living for the next meal, but would be living for a greater purpose, to share about what Jesus has done in your life, to share about how God through Jesus has affected your life and what has changed through that. That is an abundant life. Does it mean you're not going to have struggles? Does it mean you're not going to be hungry ever again? No. But it does mean you're going to be living your life for a bigger purpose. When we talk about bread, it made me think of Luke chapter 22, 19. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. Jesus gave his body, the bread, so that we could have eternal life. So that we could live a life that had a greater purpose. How do we get this eternal spiritual nourishment? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is the bread? The bread is belief in Jesus, but it is knowing and understanding and doing God's word. This morning, I was talking to the students about the miracle of the resurrection. Last week we talked about miracles, and this week we talked about the resurrection, and they interviewed someone who was an atheist before, and he was like a CSI, a crime detective, and he was an atheist, but then he started saying, I'm going to go through the Gospels, and I'm going to look at the evidence. And so having his background and his ability, he looked at that evidence and realized that it wouldn't be possible for this many people to have this big of a deception. And so through that, he found that the Gospels were true. But he said one day he and his wife were talking. He said, I believe that this is true now, but I don't know why. I don't know what it's supposed to do for me. He said it was a difference between belief that it happened versus belief in it happening. He said when you go from understanding what the Gospels are to understanding the effects that they have on your life, that's when you go from belief that to belief in. I brought a lamp with me this morning. I even brought an extension cord. Power. If I were to turn on this lamp right now, I have to turn it the right way. Nothing. But through the marvel of electricity, through the running of wires through the building, through the source, ta-da. Love it when a plan comes together. It doesn't always work, but love it when a plan comes together. It has to be plugged into the source for it to work. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is our source for spiritual nourishment. He is our source to be fed spiritually. There are times in this life where we need fed. And it's not just needing some bread to eat. But we have a deeper longing. And Jesus is trying to meet that need with these people. He's telling them there's something greater that you need. And I can fill that. The woman at the well, he said, there's something greater that you need than just a drink of water. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 35. Are you connected to the source? Are you connected to the source that gives you spiritual nourishment? The solution is belief in Jesus Christ. If you read beyond this passage, they keep questioning Jesus, and by the end of it, verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus begins to tell them, this is what you're going to have to do. And they don't like it. Say, this is hard. Yeah, living the Christian life is hard. But they didn't understand. They didn't get it. They didn't realize that Jesus was talking about spiritual nourishment and believing in him, and many of them doubted. They wanted more proof that he was who he said he was. But do you understand that trust has to come before fulfillment? They had to trust in Jesus before he could fill that spiritual need in their life. So, there's my outlet. Do I trust God to meet both my physical and spiritual needs, or do I try to fill them by other means? Sometimes we try to fill our spiritual needs with physical things. I'm a stress eater. I get stressed, so what do? I eat. What does the Bible say to do? Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Do I trust God to meet both my physical and spiritual needs, or do I try to fill them by other means? Would you pray with me?